We are continuing our study today in Ezekiel, and we are going to do a run, a dash, a sprint through three chapters that all deal with God's judgment upon Tyre and its related city, or should I say kingdom, I guess, of Sidon. You might say, Tyre? Sidon? What? Tyre was a stronghold of the Phoenician people in the Middle East, which had been a thorn in the side of the Jewish people for centuries and centuries. Tyre was an island. Actually, what is confusing about this section, one of the things, shall I say, that's confusing about this section, is that Tyre was actually in two pieces. That there was an island, which was off the coast, not very far off the coast, maybe, half a mile or so, or a mile off the coast, so you could see it from land, and that was the city itself of Tyre. And then there was old Tyre along the shoreline. And so some of this judgment pertains to the island, and some of it pertains to the shoreline. As you can imagine, in their day, assaulting an island stronghold was very difficult. Tyre supposedly had, or is, I can't say supposedly, that sounds a little bit too tenuous, but Tyre is reported by historians to have had a wall around it 150 feet high, which is 15 stories, which is rather considerable for their day. So you had a 15-story wall encompassing an island. How in the world would an army ever conquer that? It was very, very difficult. Tyre was also a city of traders. They were seafaring peoples that had colonies all around the Mediterranean, some say all the way as far as Spain. And Tyre was there, really one of the strongholds and really the center city of their culture, as you could understand, because it was so difficult to conquer. And being that they were in such a great position, that they were dug in militarily, and they had command of the seas, and they had this vast trading empire, they might have thought rather much of themselves. And we'll see that indeed they did. So Ezekiel chapter 26. Now in the 11th year, on the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, Aha, the gateway of the peoples is broken, it is open to me, I shall be filled, now that she is laid waste. Therefore thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. Verse 2 is interesting. It's particularly interesting because nobody understands nowadays exactly what it means. All we can get from that is that Tyre, like so many other nations, gloated against the people of Jerusalem as the city fell. By the way, the Tyre nowadays is in the country of Lebanon. It is just a little bit south of Beirut. It is no longer an island. And we'll see some of the prophecies later on, and I will explain how that made Tyre no longer an island. Verse 4, They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she will become spoils for the nations. Also her daughters who are on the mainland will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland with the sword. He will make siege walls against you, cast up a ramp against you, and raise up a large shield against you. The blow of his battering rams he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of cavalry and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates, and men enter a city that is breached. For the hoofs of his horses he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, break down your walls and destroy your present houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sounds of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock, you will be a place for the spreading of nets, you will be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord God. Now this represents a puzzle and a problem. Part of this is all jumbled together of the prophecy of things moving forward from the time of Ezekiel all the way really to the time of Yeshua. Because yes, Nebuchadnezzar did break through the mainland part of the city, and he raised the siege against the island portion of the city. The island portion did eventually surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and was not destroyed. It was Alexander the Great who once again conquered the city and took the ruins of the old city and put it into the ocean where it was there in order to make a causeway that extended out to the island, and along that causeway take his archers and his troops in order to conquer the island city. Because of the fact that he built that causeway, that changed the ocean currents, said there was silt and whatnot that built up, and so now Tyre is no longer an island, but it's a peninsula, so the island and the mainland are joined. The puzzle and the question here is that we have to look at this and scratch our heads. Certainly the Phoenicians are no longer inhabiting Tyre. The whole city-state or nation that Tyre was the head of did indeed fall. And there was a time period. It's funny because you read some of the commentators and they say, this is a great illustration of the prophecies of God, because Tyre now is just a bare rock on which the fishermen spread their nets. Well, most of these commentaries are written during the 1700s and 1800s, and during that time it was true. Nowadays, unfortunately, the city of Tyre has about 160,000 inhabitants, as well as an Islamic university in it. And you can go on Google Maps and you can get a satellite view of it and see the streets and see the markets and see everything else that's on there. So this is one of those instances where you have to look at Scripture and say, what in the world was God talking about? I think God was talking about it not being rebuilt in the sense of being the city-state and the nation that it was. But that's one of the things that you look at and you say, well, what did God mean by this? Certainly the Phoenicians are out of there. And certainly this whole idea of bringing nation after nation against it, that has really extended even to the modern day, because, as I said before, Tyre is in Lebanon, and Tyre is a stronghold of Hezbollah. And so as a result, in the conflict, especially between Hezbollah and the Israelis, Tyre has suffered quite a bit, to the point where the international community is trying to step in to get people to slack back, because many of archaeological sites on Tyre are suffering quite a bit because all the battles that are still raging around Tyre. So even nowadays, there are still many nations coming up against Tyre. So God set this prophecy against Tyre that is really still unfolding even to the present day, they're still having trouble with nation after nation invading it. Like I said, there was a distinction that you have to make in that previous section between the mainland city and the island city, that Nebuchadnezzar did raise the mainland city, but it was Alexander the Great that destroyed the island city, or finally conquered the island city. Verse 15, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, and the wounded groan, when the slaughter occurs in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be appalled at you. They will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited one, from the seas, O renowned city, which was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands will tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be terrified at your passing. Thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like the cities which are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth, like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited, but I will set glory in the land of the living. I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more, though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. And like I said, I think that refers to this whole kingdom of Tyre, and the king of Tyre, and the Phoenician Empire, and all the rest of that is tied up in that. And that did indeed sink to the point where I mentioned that Tyre was one of the cities that God brought his judgment against. People look at each other and say, Tyre, what was that? But it was in its day considered to be a heavyweight in one of the powers of the Middle East, certainly because of their, not so much because of their strong and standing army, but because of their commercial endeavors. They really were everywhere. Chapter 27, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre, and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Like I said, they thought very much of themselves. Your borders are in the heart of the seas, your builders have perfected your beauty. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They have taken a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. So this is going to be a simile, a metaphor, comparing the city of Tyre, or the nation-state of Tyre, to a ship sailing on the sea. Verse 6, of oaks and Bashan they have made your oars. With ivory they have inlaid your deck of boxwood, the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arbad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were abroad. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and all her wise men were with you, repairing your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal in your merchandise. Persia and Lud and Put were in your army, your men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They set forth your splendor. The sons of Arvad and your army were on your walls. All around in the Gamadrim were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They perfected your beauty. Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth. With silver, iron, tin and lead they paid for your wares. Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were your traders. With the lives of men and vessels of bronze they paid for your merchandise. Those from Beth Torgamah gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. The sons of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory tusks and ebony they brought as your payment. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your traders. With the wheat of Minith, cakes, honey, oil, and balm, they paid for your merchandise. Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, because of the wine of Hebron and white wood. Vedan and Javan paid for your wares from Uzal. Wrought iron, cassia, and sweet cane were among your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddlecloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats. For these, they were your customers. The traders of Sheba and Ramah, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices, with all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Cana, Eden, the traders of Sheba, Ashur, and Kilmad traded with you. They traded with you in choice garments and clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were the carriers for your merchandise. You were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. Your rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the seas. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and your pilots, your repairers of seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your company that are in your midst, will fall into the heart of the seas on the day of your overthrow. So God, through Ezekiel, enumerates all of these things, all of these wonderful products, all of this commerce that was going on, all of these people that stood by them. At the very end of this whole list, God says, and they're all going to be useless. Verse 28, the sound of the cry of your pilots, the pastures and lands will shake. All handle the oar, the sailors and all the pilots of the sea will come down from the ships. They will stand on the land. They will make their voice heard over you. They will cry bitterly. They'll cast dust on their heads, they'll wallow in ashes. They'll make themselves bald for you and gird themselves with sackcloth. They will weep for you in the bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. Moreover, in their wailing, they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre, like her who is silent in the midst of the sea? When your wares went out from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enriched the kings of earth. Now that you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company have fallen in the midst of you. All the inhabitants of the coastlands are appalled at you, and their kings are horribly afraid. They are troubled in countenance. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. So it didn't help them one bit. So that was all the people of Tyre. That was the commerce, and that was the city. And now I get to chapter 28, talks about the leader of Tyre. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, although you make your heart like the heart of a man. Call himself a god all he wants, then make him a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. Now we have some sarcasm here on God's part. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself and have acquired gold and silver for your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die in the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of your slayer, though you are a man and not God in the hands of those who wound you? You will die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. It's a great humility and come down for someone who thinks they're God to be standing in front of a man with a sword drawn. Godliness doesn't help very much against that guy with a sword if you're not really who you say you are or think you are. It's easy to think you're God if you're in a nice sheltered palace and everybody's bowing down to you, but when there's someone standing over you, strong, burly guy, shield, armor, sword, and you're standing there feeling very small, you're not going to think you're God anymore. Verse 11, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis, and the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stone of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitudes of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. And the word of the Lord came to me. So that's Tyre, the ruler of Tyre. Thought so much of himself, and God certainly didn't agree with that assessment. And finally, there's a little verb for Sidon, which was a neighbor city also of the Phoenicians, but really didn't have the same stature as Tyre did. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Sidon. Prophesy against her, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in your midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her. I will manifest my holiness in her. For I will send pestilence to her and blood to her streets, and the wounded will fall in her midst, by the sword upon her on every side. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And there will be no more for the house of Israel a prickling briar or a painful thorn from any round about them who scorn them. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. All of these nations, indeed, they were dealt with by the Babylonians, by the Greeks, by the Romans, by everyone. Verse 25, thus says the Lord God, when I gather the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, I'll manifest my holiness in them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their land which I gave to my servant Jacob. They will live in it securely, and they will build houses, plant vineyards, and live securely when I execute judgments upon all who scorn them round about them. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. So here we have God once again giving his judgment upon one of these pagan nations that thought very much of themselves and rejoiced in the fall of Jerusalem. This particular nation was a nation of traitors. So it wasn't just the nations that were strong militarily that was the problem. Here we have some people who thought very much of themselves. They thought of themselves as being high and mighty and raised up, and the ruler thought of himself to be a god. And the real God didn't like that one bit. In our day, usually rulers don't call themselves gods, or at least they haven't to this point. There will come a time when the Antichrist comes, when he will indeed stand up and say, I'm God, worship me. But as of this point in the world, I don't know of any particular ruler that is worshipped as a god. That was true up to almost the modern day, by the way. Even in Japan, before World War II, the emperor was worshipped. So this is not something that just happened thousands of years ago. It's a very recent thing. But I know in our experience in this country, certainly we worship men of all sorts. When you look at how our celebrities live and the things they say and do, they certainly think of themselves as some sort of divine creatures, as somehow greater than the rest of the mere mortals that look upon them. And the sort of allegiance, the sort of attitude that people have towards the celebrities is akin to worshiping gods. People swoon at the very presence. They stand in line for days for tickets so that they could see them in person. So we are not so immune for the sorts of things that God declared down on the nation of Tyre. Even though Tyre was a little nation and didn't really excel militarily, a lot of this stuff about all these other peoples that were associated is with Tyre's great wealth. They hired mercenaries from other nations to be their armies to a large extent. That although we as a country have military of our own, that still one of the things we pride ourselves on is the fact that we, in terms of commerce, that we pretty much dominate the world. You can walk into, you know, some country in the far off corner of the world and see one of the American fast food restaurants there in the center of town, with whatever adjustments to its menu is required. Like, for instance, you can't order a cheeseburger in Israel, but in other places, you know, there are other restrictions that are upon it. But still, we pride ourselves as being, you know, our culture and our commerce is all around the world. And that did not save Tyre, and God was not impressed. It didn't impress God. God didn't talk to his angels. Look at that Tyre. Wow, isn't that tremendous? They got traders all over the world. Wow. No. It was really their hearts where that stood. You know, God was all about what really God was seeking and looking at. He was looking at their really attitude towards him and towards his people. Like I said, Tyre was a thorn in the side of the Jewish people for centuries. That they had certainly stood in opposition to God and his program, stood in opposition to God's people. And so finally it was time for God's judgment to fall upon them, no matter how strong or how powerful or how impregnable they seemed. God still was able to work it out so that they fell from the heights that they were at. That God was trying to teach them a lesson, and the lesson was that you are not as good as you think you are. You're not as powerful as you think you are. And God does that to nations, and he does that to individuals. That as soon as a person lifts himself or herself up, thinks of himself or herself as godly, or not godly, but godlike, if that person also claims to be a believer or has any knowledge of God, then things can't happen to bring them down. It's better still to have a different sort of attitude, to have the anti-Tyrian attitude, that rather than looking at ourselves as gods, as looking at ourselves as reveling in all the wonderful things that we ourselves have done, but rather thanking God for the circumstances which he has put us in. The people of Tyre were not responsible for creating that island off the coast, which enabled them to be so impregnable. They were not responsible for the currents in the Mediterranean that took their ships from place to place. All of that was simply circumstances which came from the hand of God. And they ought to have been thankful for the advantages that God had given to them, rather than being proud for considering themselves as being somehow better than the other nations because they were so successful. We too as individuals need to have that same attitude. Anything that happens to us, whether it be great success or great opportunities or the difficulties in life, the things that have been ordained by the hands of God. And we should never look on that and say, I am so smart. I'm just so good. No. It is that God is good, and God is great, and God is wise. God is the one who has given us any opportunity that we have. It's from God's hand, and we ought to be thankful to God. Even if somebody would consider themselves to be very smart, well, hello, who designed your brain? You didn't. You didn't sit down with a pencil and paper and design an enhancement to your own brain. If you're particularly smart, it's because God made you that way. If you're particularly strong, God made you that way. If you got ahead for business, God made you that way. If you're successful, if you have a particularly artistic bent, God made you that way. I can go on and on. If you're athletically strong, God made you that way. Everything we have and we do, we ought to point back to God and say it's not because of anything I did, but everything traces back to God. It is God who provides all this, and it is him who deserves our allegiance and our thanks. Let's pray. Dearest God and Father, thank you so very much for all that you've done for us. For in this country we are spectacularly prosperous. And I thank you for bestowing all this upon us who don't deserve it. Forgive us for the times that we take all this for granted, that we get angry when we just sink a little bit in terms of prosperity or opportunity. Instead, always remind us of who we are and where we came from. Remind us of who you are, of your hand in our lives, that we might not think too highly of ourselves, but always might understand who deserves the praise and who deserves the honor and who deserves the credit, and that in everything we might give that praise and honor and credit back to you and to our Messiah, Yeshua.